Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The We and Me. This is Erica with you today. Thanks for joining us. We have a very special guest today, Robert Paul Taylor. For some of you who don't know who that is, he's an actor and he portrayed Brandon, a man living with DID, in the movie Five Piece. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again. A lot of people are very excited about this episode, so I really appreciate you discussing some of the ins and outs of it with me.
Sure, of course. Thank you for having me. I'm a little nervous that the community is going to be listening in.
High pressure.
Yeah, totally.
We're going to try and keep it polite and conversational, but if you feel interrogated, I do apologize.
No, that's okay.
I guess my first question for you is just more of a general one. Is there anything that when you read the script for Five Piece movie, was there anything that stood out that made you say, you know what, maybe I want to do this? Is there something about a movie portraying mental health that made you want to jump in, or was it just an interesting idea?
You know, there was both of those things. The movie came about, the director, Matthew Roth, I used to train at a studio. A mentor named Martin Donovan, who was a Academy Award-winning screenwriter and a filmmaker.
Right.
And we would do some training, and Matthew, the director, was the cameraman for these sessions. So he saw me in a really intimate space. We would do this work where we would just stare into the camera, and we would go through this cycle of emotions in a close-up, in a very intimate way. So week after week, it was his eyeball behind the camera staring at me, you know, for a year or two. And so we had a relationship from that, those training sessions. And about a year or two later, he wrote the script and he wanted me to play Brandon. So when he approached me, it was more of, I wrote a movie, I want you to star in it. So I read it and I was immediately intrigued because Brandon, you know, did have DID. There was multiple layers of emotional stories, multiple layers of different characters. It was very challenging.
Sure.
And enticing to, you know, usually as an actor, when you get a role, you get one role and you have a very limited amount of time on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was an opportunity to not only star in the movie and carry the plot line, but to be able to dip in and out of 5-6 different people. So it was definitely intriguing, the fact that he wanted me to star in it. It was a yes. You know, it was just a matter of how much time do I need for training and for educational, because I didn't know a whole lot about DID. And in fact, when I first started the project, I quickly learned a lot of the etiquette very fast, but I was still calling it multiple personality disorder.
Right.
You know, when I was Googling stuff, it wasn't until I started to kind of put my toes in the water that I learned, oh, that's sort of an outdated jargon, and it's DID, and even, you know, changing my dialogue from personality to identities to alters to shifting to switching. So it was sort of my dive into the exploration of it that I kind of got caught up. And I'm sure I'm still behind in ways, but yeah, it was a learning process. But I was definitely interested, and it was a yes when he approached me. It was just a matter of when.
That's very cool, though, because I know myself, I have spoken to Matthew Roth, and then I know that a few of my parts have as well. And when we had first seen the Twitter handle, Five Piece Movie, when they had first started following us, we were like, well, what's this? And then that's how you and I got connected on Twitter. And then I started to look a little bit more into it. And that is one of the big questions that a lot of people have within the DID community. You're portraying how we live. So we don't want to be the plot of a horror movie, and we don't want to be the villain, in a sense. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I don't know if you've seen other portrayals in media or in your research, if you watched any movies. Can you talk a little bit about that and some of the differences with Five Piece or similarities?
Of course. And I have seen some of the horror movies, and I've seen sort of Hollywood's portrayal. And I agree that there is a sort of, I don't know if negative is the word or capitalizing.
Yeah.
But there is... Usually it is shown where someone who has DID is a psychopath or a killer. or it's to show, you know, a plot line to somebody who's really scary, you know, and Five Piece is a totally different angle. This is an emotional movie. Brandon does cause some problems with the relationships in his life, but it's a very empathetic point of view.
Sure.
You care for Brandon. He's a loving guy. And you sort of, it's sort of the point of view of watching him in his own emotionally self-destructive ways, cause himself more pain, but you also get to see the struggles that he's going through. So, you know, there's no murdering in the movie. You know, he's not arrested. He's not, you know, a negative person. But you have empathy for him because you learn of his backstory. You learn that he was abused. You learn a little bit of how, you know, some of these altars were created. Mm-hmm. And you get to watch some of the different shifts through his relationships. So it, I feel like it's a very, it is a positive light. What you take away from the movie, whether you feel sympathetic for him, you wish you weren't him. I don't know. That's sort of an ambiguous, what the viewer takes from it.
Right.
We definitely stand apart from movies like Split, you know, or some of the horror movies, because this movie doesn't have any violence. It's just about a guy sort of going through his life, discovering he even has DID. Mm-hmm. And his partner, his girlfriend, this wonderful actress who plays his girlfriend, she's aware of it, and she nurtures. She has a relationship with a few of the others, and there's a couple scenes where one of the altars comes out, they're making love, and she tells them, you know, you're not supposed to be here, you know, and she's very offended, you know, how dare you come out right now, and she stops the moment, and Brandon doesn't really understand that. So it's cool because she has conversations with his altars, but Brandon himself isn't really aware of that.
Yeah.
In a way, his partner is more advanced in the objectiveness of it because she's loving him as a whole. Mm-hmm. And he's just seeing her through Brandon, and the others have a relationship with her as well. So it's interesting.
The way you're explaining the plot of the movie, it sounds really interesting, the different intricacies of it. Because that, what you had just described there, rings very true for me, is that I had no idea I had DID before my diagnosis. And one of my parts actually was dating my husband over a year before I had any memory of ever meeting him.
Wow.
I hear that a lot from people within the DID community. So it's really interesting how true those pieces of the movie ring for me. It makes me very...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it sounds really good. And then just a quick note, because no, we haven't seen this film yet, anybody who is curious about that. Speaking a little bit to some of the research that you mentioned, I know that you and I had talked a little bit about this before on Twitter. Can you share a little bit about a little bit more in detail about some of the research that you did? Because I know that that is one of the big questions for the DID community is, I know from our followers, they want to know that people care and it's not done in a mocking way. And from what you're saying, it sounds like a very good film as far as portrayal goes.
Yeah, and I agree, you know, and I don't know what Matthew's specific relationship with it is. I would imagine he might have a family member or had a partner with DID because the script is written so intimately, respectfully. Mm-hmm. To it, that there's got to be somebody in his personal life that he has this experience with. But I know for myself, you know, I wanted to do a good job as an actor. I wanted to have authentic backstories for each altar. And I also wanted to really understand, you know, I wanted to learn more about it in general. And I really only knew sort of some vagueness from some of the cheesy Hollywood movies. So my first step was he wanted me to read First Person Plural, you know, by Cameron West.
Yeah, I have that book.
Yeah, so I read First Person Plural. You know, it was an interesting book. I read some stuff online afterwards. Some of the people were like, oh, we don't like that book. And, you know, he's writing it from the first person. But if he really was writing it, you know. So I heard there was some controversy in the scene, how good of a book that was. But for me, that was my first step. As I read that book, it was very interesting because, if I remember correctly, it wasn't until he was later on in life, in his 30s and 40s, when it really started to really affect him and his marriage and his career. And he would wake up, you know, in a car with police officers at the door. And he would snap to and switch. So that was my first step. And then I started going on the internet, going to different psychology websites. And I was looking, I really wanted to spend time with somebody with DID. And it was going on the internet in that process that I realized, like, okay, I shouldn't be saying multiple personality, and it's called, you know, identity disorder. And I found this website, I can't remember what it was, but it was sort of like a DID West Coast community site. Mm-hmm. And I got in touch with a woman, I won't share her name, but she was in Seattle. I sent a few emails out to these websites saying, hey, I'm an actor, I want to learn more about this. Is there anybody that I can meet for coffee or talk on the phone? And after a few weeks, some woman wrote back to me. She was very sweet. And we spent a few hours on the phone together. And, you know, she said 45 to 50 alters inside of her. She was a woman in her 60s. She had she was married for 30 years to a man. Her husband was the first one to sort of let her know, you've got DID. I've been having an affair with a couple of them. And so it was sort of through her marriage that she discovered she had DID. And she was divorced now for about 5 or 10 years. And she shared a lot of intimate stories with me and sort of explained. And then I got to be on the phone with her, and she'd be like, you see, there, I just switched. Did you see that? Like, I switched again.
Yeah.
And so after an hour or two, we talked 3 or 4 times for quite a long period of time. It was very subtle, but I would start to notice a shift in the questions would change.
Yeah.
Or some of the, I would ask her maybe a little bit more intimate questions, and I noticed the tone of her voice would shift. Or And she would let me know, you see there, I just switched. And that was really, really helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and that really put some humanity to it. And she shared with me, like, one of her alters, you know, just bought a sports car. And she came home and she had a $35,000 car in the driveway. And she thought, oh, my God, what did he do, you know?
Oh, no.
And she said her husband was really loving to her. She had this, like, 14-year-old teenager that would come out, and her husband would encourage her and play with her, and she would put on knee-high socks and paint her fingernails and do little pigtails. And she said he was so amazing because they would just sort of have a play night.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but later in her life, she told me, now that she's dating, she says she doesn't share it with people.
Right.
Like, she doesn't tell her banker. She doesn't tell men she goes on dates with. Her kids are sort of indifferent to it. She said she doesn't share it with people that aren't in her immediate circle.
Yeah.
But she's reached a real place of peace with it. And she seemed to be happy living in a community inside of her head.
Sure.
If that makes sense in a respectful way.
No, I know what you're saying. And I imagine most of our listeners will get what you mean, too. Absolutely. We know many within the community that are content with who's in their life and their alters or their parts, headmates, however they want to define that. But yes, that's...
Yeah, she's like, she was living on a ranch with 10 other people, and she was pretty content, you know?
Yeah.
She'd raised her children, she'd been married, and now she was sort of living her life as a happy, you know, upper middle-aged woman. And so once I had that information, I felt like I had spent a few hours on the phone with somebody, and then I went back to my backstory, and then I had to kind of go into the darkness and figure out who traumatized this kid.
Yeah.
How often did it happen, and who came to protect him? And so Matthew and I spent hours just creating the different alters. And so we would work on camera for 2 or 3 weeks, just creating one of the alters. You know, how do they talk? How do they live? What do they like to do? What protection, what secret weapon do they carry for Brandon?
Mm-hmm.
And then after a few weeks, we would create the second one and the third one. So we actually spent a lot of time in preparation. We spent maybe 6 months
wow.
on camera creating these four other altars. And so I knew how they talked. I knew how they dressed. I knew when they would come out. And then it was just a matter of how obvious do we want to make it and how subtle do we want to make it. And we went on the very subtle side.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, my ex-girlfriend used to watch TV and do laundry and go on Facebook and eat lunch. And as an actor, I would always be like, babe, you can't watch TV like that. You're missing crucial scenes. You're not even looking at the TV. And she would watch hours. So I feel like if someone's not really paying attention and they're watching this movie, they might not see a switch.
Right.
But if you're watching the film and you're really paying attention, it's going to be very obvious.
Yeah.
So it's subtle, you know, and like different than these Hollywood horror movies. None of them are carrying a knife or a chainsaw or, you know.
They can't shapeshift and climb walls and fly. They don't do that.
Yeah. I feel like we stayed in the integrity of respecting the community, but as well, I'm not a spokesperson for the community.
Right.
You know, I don't have firsthand experience. So, you know, I am as well an actor taking on a job, trying to be respectful and also truthful. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it is entertaining in a positive way and possibly educational or, you know, showing some empathy.
Yeah, it really sounds like you, as well as Matt and everyone involved, it really sounds like you guys did justice to a movie like this where things can go horribly wrong in a hurry with this sort of a theme. With a mental health or mental illness theme in general, some movies really, really get icky. But it's fantastic that you've done, you know, your research and stuff. And I am hoping, so... little quick note, Matthew Roth, if you're listening to this episode, we still want to get in touch with you and have you come on. I know that you've seen our messages. You said you'd get back to me, so do it.
Yeah, I'm sure he would love to come on the show.
Yeah, I know he will. He's told us that he'll get back to us, but I just figured we'd get the spotlight off you
yeah,
for a
sure,
quick second.
Why not? Magic, get on it.
There you go. Put him on the spot.
Yeah.
Really, though, that's something that I know that you and one of my parts, Jinx, had talked about on Twitter before, is that you had done the research and that you did discuss a few of these types of things on Twitter before. It was important to you to do it in an empathetic way, in a more realistic way, not this, like, all of a sudden the person looks possessed and they, like... their whole body shakes or something that you see a lot in movies. And that's not always the case. For some people, some very specific types of parts or alters, if you prefer, there's a more aggressive form of switching. But for the majority of people with DID, it's far more subtle than that because that's kind of the point, is to be protective. So if all of a sudden, like... my body starts to convulse, that's not particularly subtle, and people would take notice of that in a big way.
Yeah, and Brandon did have a dark altar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of his altars was very dark and destructive, but when he came out, it was more destructive in the sense of saying something slightly hurtful mm-hmm. or telling someone to just go... You know, when you get to that moment when you're in a relationship and you're like, do we push through this? You know, do we love each other? Do we work through it? Or do you just look at them in the eyes and tell them just to go,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So the destruction was equally as painful, but it was more subtle, interrupting interpersonal relationships in a protective way.
Right. And I think anyone who has DID, who has any part or alter that has ever been in a relationship can relate to that. So really, with everything that you're saying, it sounds like there is going to be a lot of things that people within the DID community can relate to Brandon on. Because I have parts that are severely destructive and damaging to me physically, as well as relationships that we've had with people over the years. I have parts that will instantaneously, if you do something, it can't just be like a nothing argument. I'm not talking about like a mundane everyday argument people have, but if you do something against them to harm me, us, however you want to define that for conversation's sake, they will cut you out of their life that second. I have a part that jokes all the time that it doesn't matter where she's going or what she's doing. She can pack up an entire house in 20 minutes and get the things that we need and want and never, ever see that person again. They can cut things out quickly when they are harmed. And I know that some of our listeners know who I'm talking about, and just for conversation's sake, it's Jinx that I'm talking about that does that, because she's the more social protector of my system. She understands people. She just knows things about people from their mannerisms, from their tone of voice, from the subtle differences in facial expression, the muscles in your face right now. That's one reason why, for those of you who have listened for a while, we're in video chat on Skype, and I can feel her watching every single move that you make and every different tick of your eyebrow and every different angle of your eye as you squint and smirk and try and hold it now. It's what she does. It's a protective thing, but it's really interesting that the subtle ways that you're talking about Brandon and the way that you guys had done this. And of course, anyone with DID understands that their parts are protective, but if you're realistic about it, you know what your parts are capable of by way of protecting yourself or other people.
Yeah.
It's just, I know that some people don't like this, but I do agree with the general population of people who talk about DID and say, well, I don't know much about it, but that sounds really interesting. When they're talking about it in just the random thought of it, or the physiological aspect of it, in the way that there's differences in the body and there's differences in the brain, because there are physical differences within the different parts of the brain as well. So it's just, it is an interesting disorder, provided that you say that without an underlying ick, I suppose.
Yeah. I wish we could get this movie out to as much of the community as possible. I would be so interested to hear more of people's response. Of course, there would be that slight fear of getting some backlash, but you will always fear that as an artist.
Of course.
In general, I wish there was, I don't know of any mental health awareness film festivals or internet channels or, you know, content geared towards that audience or that topic. If you know of anything like that, you know, please let us know. We've been touring film, you know, a little bit around the country. Yeah, I actually was in Europe doing another project, but I think it was in Indiana or Illinois, and then it went down south. It got nominated for an award, and then I did win a Best Actor award.
I saw that.
Another festival, which was really, really sweet, you know, to hear. It's still going around different festivals. I think it's coming to Los Angeles finally in the next month or so. But back to what I was saying, you know, if you know of any communities that hold, you know, films in that light or in that vein of relativity, we would love to play it there and get it to as many people in the community as possible. You know, of course, once it's available on the internet, then I can send you the link and, you know, you can share it to whomever. But I wish there was a film festival that sort of honored mental illness awareness or, you know, fundraising, or did something that we could showcase it at.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm going to have Jinx get a hold of a few of her contacts, because she talks to far more people than I do. But a couple people, just names, flittered through my brain real quick. I'll have her reach out to a few people, because I bet that might be something NAMI would be interested in putting together. National Alliance of Mental Illness, for those who are aware.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, we work with them. Actually, we're doing a training with them right now to be one of their speakers. That's something that would be like kind of up their alley. So I'll see. I can shoot them a message. And then I know Jinx knows a few other people that would find that very intriguing.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I think that could be really interesting. Sorry, our regular listeners know how my brain works, so I get either really quiet or I can't stop talking because I find something so intriguing, and that could be really interesting because we do know a few other people who are who will write different stories like this or different screenplays and that sort of thing. Now they're not professional actors or writers or anything like that, but they put different stories like this together, and that includes people in the DID community because that's one of the biggest concerns is that, well, Hollywood gets it wrong every time.
Yeah.
But from everything that we've heard from you as well, actually as well, we've spoken to a couple of the other actors that were in Five Piece, and I'm not...
Oh, great. Well, did you talk to them?
You know, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I myself didn't speak to them, and I don't remember their names. I think we spoke to Brandon's girlfriend. I can't remember her name, the actress. There was one other person that we spoke with, and I don't remember their name. I apologize.
Sure.
So
no, that's okay.
Big sorry to you.
Yeah, Vanessa White is a wonderful actress. She plays Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
She plays Brandon's girlfriend in the film.
Okay.
And she is wonderful to work with, beautiful actress, and one of Brandon's alters is this very feminine young woman, and she's mm-hmm. very nurturing to her. And there's a scene when they put makeup on together and they sort of play together. And she's also Brandon's lover,
right?
You know, but she's aware that's what I was saying earlier is Ashley, his girlfriend, played by Vanessa White, she's aware of a few different personalities. And I think that Brandon doesn't realize that she has a relationship with more of them than just him.
Yeah.
And so there's a not, I won't do any
spoilers,
you know, spoilers, but there's a very emotional relationship that happens between them because you see the love that she really has for him as well as, you know, some of his protectors.
That's really great, you know? Yeah. For him, for his entire system, it sounds like there's varying degrees of relationship going on, and I know that rings true for people across the DID community in negative and positive ways. Because my husband, he's someone who struggles with it too sometimes.
Well, I feel like, you know, for Brandon, my hope is that people in the DID community will relate to that and see that hopefully as an authentic, you know, portrayal. But also partners of people with DID will relate to Ashley's character
mm-hmm.
in the way that, you know, when you see somebody who's in love with an alcoholic on screen, you relate to the struggles and highs and lows of dating somebody with an addiction or an affliction.
Yeah.
You know, so Ashley is a point for someone who loves someone with DID to relate to. Or,
right.
You know, the community's members, husbands and wives, they sort of have her as the character to see like, oh, yeah, I know, you know, I know how that is, you know.
Yeah, I think that sounds really fantastic. And once it's out, I'm definitely going to make my husband watch it because, yeah he's strugglesome. Speaking to some of the positive and negatives, when we started tweeting about Five Piece Movie, we got so many messages. And I know that... The Twitter page for Five Piece, I know Matt had it well, and I know I saw a few people tweet to you about it, and this was a while ago, but we got quite a few messages from people in the DID community, like, well, I mean, like, 1,000-word messages, like, asking, well, what do you know about, oh, yeah, what do you know about this, what did they do, do you know if they did any research, they better have done all of these different things, why would they write a movie about this, what... Who is this person that's portraying him? What's his name, Brandon? Because I had shared the trailer from YouTube as well, too.
Yeah, I remember I retweeted some stuff of yours, but I wasn't seeing... I got a handful of things.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything negative.
That's good.
But I would be interested to see some of the stuff, you know. And of course, as you know, that was, I think it was well over a year ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't remember getting anything negative. But I did get a little bit of feedback, and mainly it was people were interested in just seeing it, you know. And
yeah.
And like I said, I feel very safe that we came from a real integral place, and our intention was to sort of show this interpersonal relationship. And, you know, depending on your point of view, it's either painful or exciting or entertaining, but it is what it is, you know.
Right.
And a lot happens in the movie that takes place over a couple days, but in the sense of a movie like, you know, Titanic or some big action movie, nothing really happens in this movie. It's all interpersonal relationships, you know. There's no police chases and helicopters exploding. There's no gunfights. There's no, you know, extravagant scene with 5,000 people in Times Square. It's all interpersonal relationships and the deep emotional connections we have to the people in our lives that really unravel throughout the film, which is, which was really interesting to me because it's really, it's an actor's movie.
Yeah.
You know?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Because it's just, yeah, it's just about relationships, you know?
I myself, I enjoy those types of movies far more than action adventure or even romantic comedy. I don't get much from them. I don't deal with high degrees of emotion, so I just don't get much from them. I want to see mostly the psychology of things. I want to see the intrigue because I think the way people interact is fascinating. There's not much that's more fascinating to me than the way people interact in certain instances because it's not something that I can completely understand. I comprehend it and the ups and downs of relationships, but I don't fully understand the whys behind them and the reactions for those things. So, like, I love my husband very much. I don't really argue with him because I don't, more often than not, I just don't understand the argument or why it took place. Whether it took place from a point of he's frustrated with me or one of my parts because of something that they said or did or whatever it is, but I don't understand the frustration. And then one of my parts typically needs to explain it to me in a way that makes more sense to me. So they'll use non-emotional words in a way. They'll use a variety of different adjectives. And mostly what it comes down to is his concern and fear and his desire to want to protect me as well as my parts. And that is one of those things that I've seen a lot within the DID community. And it's just interesting. So I'm trying to slow my head here because I got lost in the interest of that, in the way.
I'm right here.
Yeah, it's just interesting the way relationships work and unfold. So I am really intrigued to be able to talk to you about some of this and the way that movie had come together, five-piece movie. It sounds like a movie that I myself would enjoy, and I can't recall the last time I enjoyed a movie.
There's been a few different cuts of it, and I actually...
Oh, really?
You know, I haven't seen the final latest cut even myself.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, you know, Matthew needs to we should just have a screening out there and... And I'm going to try to get him to just send you a copy. You know, it'd be so great to just from being such a great fan and a champion for doing what you do for your community, you know, it would be a nice gift just to get that to you and, you know, hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. And I have no doubt that I myself would, but collectively we would have opinions on it. Some of my parts are very opinionated.
Sure. Most people are.
True story, yeah. Because I know that one of my parts, she really enjoyed United States of Terra. And before anybody sends us an email or angry message, we understand that the end of that series was crap. That's why it ended. Like, we get it. However,
no, I didn't see the final season. I did enjoy the first few seasons.
I think there were only two or three. But the first season was very relatable in some instances. Again, it's a TV show, so they have to amp certain things up to get people to better understand. And that, I don't know, I think about things a little differently, it seems, than some others. Because, again, I don't really react emotionally, so I don't really get angry about it or offended. It's more so I think it through and then try and process a correct response, I guess, after the fact. With the episodes of U.S. of Terra, for example, that I did see, I get the not everybody has DID thing, which, you know, good. The heightened reactions, the changing of the makeup, the hair, the clothes, you have to do that for an audience in a TV show. In a movie, you can do you can play things a little differently with certain aspects of television versus a movie. There's differences there. But it's just final series of that, it gets a little out there in very similar ways that the movie Split did some damage. Because when that movie trailer first came out, we had to actually turn off our DMs on Twitter, and we couldn't allow people to message us anymore. Because we were getting people messaging us, telling us that they're going to pray for our demon soul, or that we should be arrested or jailed or put in, like, locked away in a psych ward. And then we had
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. But that's that. I explain that and share that because this is five-piece movie is the type of movie that could help some of that damage that was done by movies like Split.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You know, I understand when people say it's a misrepresentation or cultural appropriation or Hollywood blowing something out, but I never thought about community members getting, like, hate messages from people, which I guess it totally makes sense because you see it in the trans community and the gay community.
Right.
Or, you know, I see people write stuff on, you know, somebody is pro-trans or something, and then they'll write, like, you know, demons, you know, something.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. And so I never think of it as fuel for bullying.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sad that that happens, you know.
It is, yeah. And we're very out about having DID, but not really in my day-to-day life. There are select few people in my day-to-day life that know I have DID, but on social media and in the work that we do, we are very open about having DID. And we don't have a massive following on social media. So I know others who, for example, a friend of ours in the UK, her and her boys, her alter, she calls them her boys, they have a YouTube channel that they run together. And oh my God, they've got like 50,000 subscribers or something like that. So I can't even begin to imagine some of the chaotic messages, because they actually put together a whole video compilation of from other systems as well, that systems that are against Split. They did this whole video thing on it to try and get Shyamalan's attention so he can correct some of the damage that he's doing. We got countless messages from people who are in the DID community that were triggered horribly by just the movie trailer because they never saw the movie. But when you go to a theater, you see previews before the movie. And there was no warning of it, unfortunately. So because that's what the trailer's for, right? It's to show you what's coming next. So there's of course no warning beforehand. But they were in crisis, and we ended up having Jesus. I think in that 2 months we ended up, or in that like month and a half before we closed our DMs, I think we got over 1,000 messages about the movie. So I can't even begin to imagine what other people dealt with.
Yeah.
But it causes some chaos. And I think it's just important to talk about. And I think it's also important to talk about some of the benefits, and for people in the DID community to also take some responsibility and understand that you don't need to. It is absolutely fair to be protective of yourselves, of what you and your system can and can't handle. So don't watch certain things. I'm not saying that. What I'm expressing is that to talk about it, to have conversations like we're having right now, to talk about it, to find out the information before you belittle something that could be beneficial to your own community. For example, the way you researched and explained Brandon, people in the DID community or trauma community at large, because DID is a trauma disorder, so you shouldn't just automatically hate somebody's portrayal because of the topic. You should have conversations like this. I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it makes me feel all the more better that our film is told the way it is, because, you know, we don't judge him. The audience may or may not judge him, but it's really sort of a slice of life. And, you know, I'm mistaken if I'm wrong, but if I remember some of my research on the internet, it seemed like the term DID was only like 5 or 6 years old, and it seemed like the psychologists sort of were still very much in the dark about how the system is created and why it's created. And it really seemed like it was just in the past 5 or 10 years that some of the more in-depth exploration was happening. Am I mistaken with that?
No, I would agree with that. That's largely why we do what we do with the Living with DID detox, is because of how long it took my system to get help. We know other people who are well into their 60s and they've never been officially diagnosed because they gave up trying to find a doctor who would help them. There's different categories of doctors when you're psychologists, specifically when you're trying to find help. They'll list themselves as trauma-informed. But what does that mean, trauma-informed? Really quick interruption. I'm going to put a trigger warning on the next few minutes of the episode, so fast forward. So whether that be a doctor who is trauma-informed on physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, religious abuse, cult abuse, sexual corresponding in with ritual abuse in that it's satanic and cult. There's a lot of different layers to this. So when someone says that they're trauma-informed, what do you mean? Do you mean that you're informed on helping rape or sexual assault survivors? Do you help people with sexual abuse in childhood recover from that in adulthood? Trauma is a huge umbrella term. And I think it absolutely can be triggering in of itself when you're trying to find help, because you, or if you have DID, a part of you will likely know why you need the help. It's a very triggering thing to go and call somebody and then get that initial appointment set up, but then you have to go and do 2 hours or an hour to 90 minutes of an intake with the person that you're never going to see again, which can or cannot be beneficial. But then you're sitting there sharing all of these intimate, often horrific details about yourself in whatever way you're most comfortable doing, just to get to help someone who might be able to help you. And then you come to find out that that person's not actually trauma-informed in the way that you need them to be. Because dissociative disorders, people talk about how they're rare, and they say it's estimated to be 3% of the population. In the U.S., that's what they say. That's 10 million people, though.
No, that's insane amount of people.
It is. That is 10 million people, and that is 10 million people who have a diagnosis of DID, not a dissociative disorder. That's the statistics for DID. And those are people who are diagnosed. And those are people, those statistics come from like extensive hospitalizations or people who spend time in psychiatric mental health wards and care and stuff like that. I'm not even a part of that statistic.
Yeah.
So it is a massive disservice. And then you're talking about the reason psychologists don't have this information is that they themselves are being failed at an academic level. And that's what I explained to them during the Living DID talks when we do this, is that, listen, I shouldn't have to do your job. I do this because I want to become irrelevant. Go talk to your school and tell them that they failed you. They're not training you in the most common thing you're going to run across, especially in a major city. People have trauma. Yell at your college professors for not teaching you this. It shouldn't come down to my community. However, it does. It did. So that's why we, as well as others in the community, do what we do now, because they need real world information on what is occurring and different ways to notice it. Because like you had said in your portrayal with Brandon, it's more subtle than me coming in and crying and then all of a sudden a little coming in and slamming my head into a wall. It's really massively unlikely that's going to occur. I think in my 31 years of life, it's happened like 4 times to where my system, the protectors in my system, couldn't get a handle on us enough to where they could immediately come in to protect a little or a young childlike part that holds the trauma. 4 times in 31 years, that's, what is that, like 0.0025%? Like, that's madness.
Yeah. Well, it's so great that you do what you do, you know, and you're a voice and a light for your community, you know, and it's really wonderful that you share yourself, you know, with the world in this way and to shed light on it and to shed conversation and you know, I hope that our film can shed some positive light, or just like you said, just open up discussion and dialogue, because right. everyone does have trauma. And, you know, it's there's two parts to really look at our current society. And one way is, you know, a lot of what we see on social media is people are bashing, you know, the president and America, and there's so much tragedy. And, you know, but on the flip side, it's also one of the most beautiful healing times in society, where more people around the world are reaching for spirituality, and more people are meditating and eating healthy and striving to save the planet and save the animals. And there really is a community and a spiritual frequency to mankind that's going on right now, that it is a time to heal, and women are getting a stronger voice, and people with traumas are getting a stronger voice, and equality is getting a stronger voice, and empathy and sympathy and dialogue itself is getting a stronger voice. So it's really, yeah. it's a great time to have social media, the internet, and to be awoke, you know. So I like to stay in the positive and really think that it is a wonderful time. There are scary fires and scary politics, but I travel the world quite frequently, and the reality is there's scary stuff everywhere in every country if you want to focus on it.
Yeah.
But there's also really beautiful people. The world is really a beautiful place. You know, one of the biggest things I learned about Americanism and being an American is I was raised with so much of this unspoken, you can't just go somewhere, you know, or when I go on vacation, I go for 3, 4, 5 weeks. And the most common response is, what? Oh my God, a month? 3 weeks? What do you do? Oh my God. You know, because Americanism says we go on vacation for 1 week. You know, you yeah. go for 1 week. And the reality is the world is so beautiful and so loving. And when you go to other places, you're like, wait a minute, this was so easy. And mm-hmm. everyone is so sweet. Like, the world is inherently a great place.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like our Western news media culture that has everybody freaked out. Mm-hmm. And there's really so much good going on. It doesn't get as loud as the negative stuff because people like to attract to that in the media.
Yeah.
But I think this is wonderful. I think that this is a wonderful podcast, and
thank
and,
you.
You know, I applaud you for being a spokesperson and sharing, you know, with the community.
Thank you. Yeah, we appreciate that. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. But I did have one more question to you, because, like I said, we had a lot of people reach out to us from the DID community, and
sure.
you like, and for our listeners, those who may not know, it was, I believe, initially Jinx who had first connected with Robert. And so some of the messages that we had gotten, we had told people, well, contact them, tweet him, you talking about you, tweet him. We've been talking for a little over an hour now, for those who aren't here, part of the conversation. You're a very easy, welcoming person to talk to. So is that something that, if people were to tweet you from the DID community, is that something that would cause you distress, fear, or negativity?
No, not at all. I welcome feedback from viewers or from fans or from regular people, or, you know, I try to reach out and communicate with people who reach out to me. You know, my Twitter is at Street Fame Books. More than happy to talk to people. My Instagram is Robert Paul Taylor. And, you know, like I said, I try to interact as much as possible and
right.
and trying to come from a place of humility. And also, I like to talk to people. And I know how it is when I want to talk to somebody mm-hmm. and I send a message. And, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I go to Thailand every year for yeah. about a month. It's kind of my second home. And I was really following those Thai boys in the cave a few months ago, like obsessively every morning checking the Bangkok Post and, mm-hmm. you know, reading the news. And I was on Twitter and Gavin Rossdale, Gwen Stefani's husband, was tweeting something about the Thailand boys, and I tweeted him back, and he wrote me back, and I was totally, I was like, oh my God, Gavin Rossdale, like, tweeting me back, and I, like, sent a picture to one of my best friends. I was, like, just casually chatting with Gavin Rossdale on Sunday morning on Twitter, yeah, you know.
I do remember seeing
and
that.
So I know the lead singer at Bush. I know the excitement of chatting with somebody that maybe you admire or such, so.
Yeah.
Not to say that I have that status with other people, but yeah, of course, I'm more than welcome to chat with people and say hello and all that type of stuff.
I ask that because for some people, quite a few actually, within the DID community, there's certain protocols to certain things. So they try and deduce the consent and harm or anxieties or whatever it is that could positive, but as well as the negatively impact somebody that they want to communicate with, especially when that person isn't in the DID community. Now, of course, there's also the complete opposite of that, where some parts are like, no, I don't care. You made a movie mocking DID, so I'm going to tweet you and tell you that you're a shit. Not you specifically. We've seen that with James McAvoy quite a bit, though.
Yeah, and you know, and I got pretty tough skin. I've been an actor my whole life, and,
right,
you know, when someone's, I'm pretty good at passing on a weirdo or somebody who's being rude or insensitive, and sure. I also, I'm a spiritual man, and I know when people are lashing out, it's only just because they're in pain,
right,
you know, and they need love, and they need to be hugged and prayed for as well, and you know, it's the same way. You're driving down the street, someone honks the horn and flips you off, or they wave.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going through something, and I'm fine with all of that, and being a public person comes with that as well.
Sure, yeah, and that makes perfect sense. Thank you. I know that when we talked a little bit about you being on an upcoming episode of the podcast with a few people in the DID community and DID chat, there were about a dozen messages like, can you ask him if we could tweet him, if that would bother him, would that upset him, we don't want to, because there's a consent thing to it, you know. It's
I need to know how to find this podcast.
Yeah, I'll make sure that I send you like the links and stuff like that, because we were picked up now across I think 11 or 12 different podcasting platforms now.
Amazing. I would love to share it on my platforms as well, so let me know what I can post in my stories or tweet out.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Promote your show as well.
Thank you. We really appreciate that. Yeah, we're on Apple Podcast, Anchor, and Spotify. Those are some of the big ones. So we're going to go ahead and close out this episode. And again, we just wanted to close out the episode with a big thank you again to Robert Paul Taylor for joining us from Five Piece Movie, written and directed by Matthew Roth. So thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, it was wonderful to be on the show. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate the space being held to give me the benefit of the doubt or to give me the chance to, you know, to explain our film in such a field of, I guess I don't even want to say seemingly hurtful films, but apparently hurtful films. Yeah. So I appreciate that space, and thank you for having me, and thanks for listening.
Of course. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the We and Me podcast. Once again, you can find Robert Paul Taylor on his Instagram and Twitter at Street Fame Books. You can also find him tweeting, and as you heard him say, it is okay for you to tweet him, so don't fear. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day. Bye.
Batman in disguise. I have a tragic story, and some people I despise. I have my villains, names and shadow, and the sights that will ensue. I have a history so hollow, and a story to tell you. Eventually our hero boy forgets and breaks away. His mind wasn't meant for this. He's lying, he ain't okay. Eventually our hero boy will forget he has a soul. And eventually our hero boy, his heart will take the toll. Eventually our hero boy will take what he has known. I'll use his newfound strength to let you know you're not alone. Smile again, getting there was quite a bend, but he's okay now.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Lee and Me podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you're listening on if you enjoy the show. Big thanks to Adam from Compulsive Inc. This is his original song, Rogue. Adam is a member of the DID community that reached out to us via Stevie's Call for Musicians on Twitter. So go check out Compulsive Inc. on YouTube via the link in the description box below. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.